Let's bow in prayer and let's seek the Lord's face. Father, thank you again for this opportunity to come together around your word. Lord, we know that you're doing a great work in our lives as we look around and we see that you're growing our faith. Father, we hear many testimonies of how good you've been in people's lives, how you've provided, how you've answered prayer. And Father, we thank you that again we can just be strengthened by your word and focus on what it means to have a true biblical faith. Father, we thank you for the great heroes of the faith. Lord, we thank you for this chapter 11 of the letter to the Hebrews. And we just thank you for another example in the person of Joshua, who had a winning faith. And Father, we too desire to win through in our situations. Father, we pray that you teach us another great lesson about what it means to have faith in you and to trust you. Lord, we pray for our people at this time, for those who are sick, for those who have been in hospital. Lord, we ask that they would experience your hand in their lives. Lord, that they know your presence. And Father, that they would recover because you have touched them. Lord, we thank you that you too are growing our faith in real ways. We thank you for the many testimonies of people who've shared that they have overcome and that their faith is growing. And Lord, we pray that you'd continue to do your work in our lives. We pray this all in your precious name. Amen. Amen. The Lord is certainly growing our faith, and we've heard many testimonies of what God is doing. He's working in our hearts. What was very significant for me, at our AGM, we had a survey, and a number of folk, I think it was about 45, 46%, have expressed that they've actually grown spiritually, even though we haven't been together at church. God is doing a work in people's lives. He's using this pandemic. He's using difficulties that we've experienced to cause us to seek him again. Are you perhaps seeking the Lord more often than you used to? Maybe you're asking God to do greater things in your life and in the people around you. Do your eyes see and have faith in what God is doing and seeing what God is doing around us? This is what James chapter 1 and verse 2 to 4 is really speaking about. James says in this passage in chapter 1, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you encounter trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Allow perseverance to finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete and not lacking in anything." Now, I really believe that God is using this time to really strengthen his people and their faith. It's like muscle. When you exercise it, it grows, it becomes stronger. And this time has really caused us to look to God in bigger and greater ways. We're in the series. We've been talking about living a supernatural life of faith. It's supernatural because the eye of faith sees what others cannot see, and we're guided by something far greater. In our series, Real Faith in an Unreal World, we've been looking at Hebrews 11. We've seen already that faith worships, it bows down before the Holy One. Abel praised God for his provision for sin and brought a sacrifice. Worship also walks, it abides in the Almighty. Psalm 91 and verse 1 says, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty." We saw how Enoch prevailed in God's presence. He didn't die, but he went to be with the Lord. Faith also works. It accomplishes the seemingly impossible in our lives. Noah proved God's prophecies by building an ark. Faith waits. It rests in God's sovereign plans. Abraham presumed on God's promises. He trusted God's promises and became the father of a nation. Then lastly, we saw that faith also wars. It overcomes the impossible. Moses persevered in God's power, and he led the people out of Egypt. God wants us to know, said A.W. Tozer, that when we have him, we have everything. Friend, do you believe that? That in Christ we have everything we need? Today we're going to be looking at faith wins. Our reading is just one verse. It's Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 30. By, what is the word? By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. Israel had crossed over into Jordan. Virtually nothing remained before the campaign for the possession of the land of Canaan would begin. War loomed only a few hours away. Behind the masses of God's people, the flooding Jordan had blocked all retreat. They couldn't run away from the situation. Before them rose the ominous ramparts of Jericho, her gates tightly sealed, and her men of war on the walls. Most of the Israelites had never seen a fortified city because they'd been passing through the wilderness. And with them, with what we know of the recurrent pessimism of his people, we can be sure that fear would have run high in the camp, despite the great things that God had done for them. Humanly speaking, Joshua bore alone all the lonely responsibility of leadership of his fickle and frightened people. At this point, Joshua stole out of the camp in the darkness to view Jericho for himself and to seek the Lord's guidance. The Hebrew word tells us that Joshua was near Jericho. Joshua 5 and verse 13 expresses the idea of immediate proximity. He was very close, perhaps close enough to feel the oppression of the city described as walled up to heaven. There remained in the night, brooding, meditating, patrolling, his eyes wide in the darkness, when he detected some movement on which he fixed his eyes. What he saw set his heart racing and the adrenaline was pumping. For there, a warrior in full battle dress, his sword bare and gleaming blue in the moon's light. A less courageous man would have bolted, but not Joshua. His hand was very lightly on his own sword as he strode forward, calling out to the menacing figure, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" Joshua chapter 5 and verse 13. In other words, which side are you on? Are you on our side or on the enemy's side? Because if you're from Jericho, it'll be steel against steel. Joshua was no armchair general. There was no way that Joshua could have anticipated the sublimity, the incredible moment which lay ahead. He certainly did not know that the next few minutes would become a spiritual milestone in his life. Joshua's ringing challenge, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" was met by an answer that put him flat on his face. "Neither, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." I believe, along with Calvin and other great teachers of the word, that this commander of the army of the Lord was a theophany, an appearance of Jehovah God in the form of an angelic messenger. I'm convinced of this for a number of reasons. First, Joshua was instructed to take off his sandals. The very same command had been given to Moses by God at the burning bush. "Take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy ground." Then he said, "I'm the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. That's from Exodus chapter 3 and verse 5 and 6. Joshua realized through the command to take off his sandals that this commander was the same God who had spoken to Moses. Second, the commander who spoke to Joshua is identified as the Lord in Joshua chapter 6 and verse 2 to 5. It begins by saying, "Then the Lord said to Joshua." Third, as Origen, the church father, said in his sixth homily on Joshua, Joshua knew not only that he was of God, but that he was God. For he would not have worshipped him had he not recognized him to be God. These three reasons convinced me that the commander of the army of the Lord was in fact God in angelic form, the angel of the Lord. This encounter with God would serve to empower Joshua's faith. It was this same awareness that galvanized Philip Melanchthon, the key theologian of the Reformation, for the immense battles he would fight during the Reformation. And his favorite verse was Romans 8, verse 31. "If God is for us, who can be against us?" Melanchthon is said to have quoted this very verse many times in his writings, and on his deathbed, it was his repeated victorious cry. God told Joshua exactly what he had to do. We read about that in Joshua chapter 6 and verse 2 to 5. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its men and its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times, with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout. Then the walls of the city will collapse, and the army will go up, everyone straight in." What was the effect of all this upon Joshua? In a word, it produced the bedrock faith that introduces Hebrews chapter 11. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is the faith that convinced Joshua. That morning, as the bright rays of the early sun illuminated the thousands of orderly arrayed tents of his people, Joshua knew what he had to do. And in the story days that followed, he did it. The writer of Hebrews tells us in a simple sentence, Hebrews 11:30, that by faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. This is the key to the spiritual understanding of the fall of Jericho. How do we exercise this faith? How do we overcome our Jerichos that we experience in our own lives? How do we win the battle of faith? First and foremost, the overthrow of Jericho was a battle of faith. What does Hebrews 11 and verse 30 say? By faith, the walls of Jericho came tumbling down. Who was the faith in? The sovereign, omnipotent God. And may we never forget that our faith is placed squarely on the Lord himself. Joshua chapter 6 and verse 2 says, "See, I, the Lord, have delivered Jericho into your hands." This wasn't man's abilities, but God's power. Jericho's men had trusted in their own resources, their own security, their own walled city. But Joshua recognized his impotence and God's power. There could be no hope of victory under the natural resources that Joshua had. It would be a virtual impossibility for a tribe who'd been in a desert 40 years to take a fortress like Jericho. They were ill-equipped. They lacked experience of battle. And certainly Jericho was one of the greatest fortresses of its day. This was a venture of faith. They stood to lose everything, but staked everything on the trustworthiness of God. And friend, are you in that place where you literally trust God so much that you stack everything against the trustworthiness of God? Firstly, we see it was a battle of faith. And then we see, secondly, in this text, it was the obedience of faith that gave victory. Joshua encountered in person the living God, Jesus Christ in the flesh. The man who has encountered God will always be called upon to express his faith in action and obedience. Moses at the burning bush, when God spoke to him, he had to obey and step out in faith. Isaiah at the temple, when God called him into ministry. The disciples at Lake Galilee, as Jesus said to them, "Come follow me." Saul on the road to Damascus, as God caused him to be one of the greatest missionaries the church has ever seen. Martin Luther in a monastery, as God began to speak to him, and he became one of the great leaders of the Reformation. The Christian on his knees who seeks the face of God. The mother at home who seeks God. The student at school or university. Friend, have you encountered the living God? Because when you do, the man who has encountered or the woman who has encountered God will always be called upon to express his faith in action and obedience. God had given Joshua an explicit command that demanded implicit obedience. God had given precise commands about the soldiers, about the priest carrying the ram's horns, about the Ark of the Covenant, the people, the soldiers. It didn't make sense at the time, but as it reflected back, they would see that God had a definite plan that needed to be obeyed. Joshua had little room for his own plans, but endless scope for faith. In John 13:7, we find one of the greatest axioms of the faith life. What I'm doing, you do not understand now, but later you'll understand. And how true that is, that sometimes we don't understand what God is doing, and yet he just calls us to step out in faith and to obedience. Are you following God in obedience? The Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3 and 4, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world." Do you meet your Jerichos with human logic instead of faith? A man is filling out his tax return and he realizes if he lists some of his hidden income, he will be in a higher tax bracket and he'll have to pay more tax. He has a choice to make. Do the seemingly worldly and logical thing and hide his tax, or does he trust God to provide for his needs? The student is doing poorly in class. He needs a B to go to university. And as he writes his final exam, he realizes that B isn't going to happen. But then he notices an A student next to him is working in such a way that he can see all his work. And what does he do? Does he rationalize and say, well, God's provided, or be a fool and fix his eyes on his own dunce paper, trusting God to work things out as he sees fit? How often we meet these challenges and we need to make choices and obey God. Thirdly, the third dimension was the focus of faith. We find that in Joshua chapter 6. The centerpiece of the story is the Ark of the Covenant, representing the presence of God. The count in Joshua 6 mentions the Ark no less than 11 times in that chapter. The Ark was carried in the middle of the procession, with the priest's horns blasting constantly, declaring the presence of God. This is what the horns, the shofars, were used for, to declare that God was present. In Exodus 19, verse 16, declared God's presence on Sinai, giving the law. It was God's presence that encircled Jericho those 7 days, and it was God's presence that would bring down the fall of that city. Central to Israel's faith was the awareness that God was with them and that God was leading them. In John Bunyan, the famous writer of Pilgrim Progress, in his church in England, there was a poem on the wall where the pastor came through in the door and entered the pulpit. "Enter this door as if the floor within were gold and every wall of jewels all, of wealth untold, as if a choir in robes of fire were singing here, nor shout nor rush, but hush, for God is near." As the children of Israel encircled the city, they knew that God's presence was with them. And friend, today as we endure this pandemic, do you realize that God is with you? His presence is here. He's journeying with us through experience and the challenge of life. The focus of faith, God's present. And then we see that the people needed to exercise the perseverance of faith. For 6 days and then a seventh day, they did that circuit around Jericho 13 times. They marched around 13 times. For 7 days, the walls were still sturdy. The walls were still forbidding as ever. For 7 days, nothing happened. When you pray, when you trust God and nothing happens, how do you feel? How do you deal with God's silence? Someone has put it as banging on heaven's doors with bruised hands in the dark, and God is silent. Not the slightest visual evidence of the collapse of the walls, just a few days away. Then just a few minutes away, and then just a few seconds away. Is that the reason that some of our prayers remain unanswered? Because we have not completed that 13th circuit around our personal Jericho? When shall we learn in quiet patience and perseverance to wait on God for our 7 days too? The circle of completed time until he gives us the possession of the promised rest and peace and victory. Let our faith claim it, since we are the children of God who overcomes our impossibilities. We are called to a life of faith that expects and receives and overcomes. Let our faith be one life of faith, faith in God. These people need to exercise the perseverance of faith. And then lastly, the walls did not fall until they'd made the declaration of faith. It must have been very difficult for those Israelites to keep silent during those first 6 days. We can be absolutely sure that the enemies practiced no restraint during this time. On the seventh day, they encircled Jericho 7 times. Verse 15 to 16 and 20 says the following. On the seventh day, they got up at daybreak and marched around the city 7 times in the same manner, except that on that day they circled the city 7 times. The seventh time round, when the priest sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the army, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city." When the trumpet sounded, the army shouted, and at the sound of the trumpet, when the men gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. So everyone charged straight in, and they took the city. This was the voice of faith. It was an outward confession of an inward confidence in the power of God. The very nature of faith believes it'll happen before it does. Conquering faith declares itself. Faith that does not do so is not faith at all. The Apostle Paul says in Romans 10:10, "For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified," and says the apostle, "it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved." Ancient Job declared in Job chapter 19 and verse 25 to 27, "I know that my Redeemer lives and that he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him." Every step was a step of appropriation, taking hold of what God had given his people. But the climax came with a mighty shout, an expression of inner confidence in an omnipotent, all-powerful God. These people risked everything on the faithfulness of God, and they received their reward. Friend, do you stake everything on the faithfulness of God? Do you believe that God will intervene? The walls came tumbling down. It was an act of God in response to faith. Friend, what is the Jericho you're facing today, that seemingly impossible possibility in your life? Remember the battle of faith. Stake everything on the trustworthiness of the Lord. The obedience of faith, we need to obey his commands. The focus of faith, we need to seek the presence of God. The perseverance of faith, each of us need to patiently wait on the Lord. And the declaration of faith, we need to give an outward witness to our personal faith. Won't you bow with me this today as we just seek the Lord's face, and let's just ask him to build into our lives that victorious, winning faith that Joshua experienced in his life. Let's bow heads in prayer. Father, thank you again for us that we can read about this great man of faith, Joshua, who you call to lead your people. Lord, how many of us face these Jerichos in our lives, these seemingly impossible situations? Father, we know during this time of COVID-19 pandemic that many of us face major challenges, whether it's financial challenges, whether it's work challenges. Father, we know that some are sick and in hospital. And yet, Father, at a time like this, we know we can express our faith because you are a God who is faithful to us. Lord, I pray for those who are really battling and discouraged. Lord, we think of those who are feeling depressed and Lord, really struggling with the lockdown. We just want to pray and lift them up this day, and we ask that you'd intervene in their lives. Lord, teach us what it means to trust you. And Father, we know that you are teaching us these great spiritual lessons. How many testimonies we've heard of people who have grown in their faith in these last few months. And Father, I just pray that you'd use this time to teach us deep spiritual lessons. Lord, bring us to a place, each of us, to a place of trusting you completely. Lord, of helping us to see with eyes of faith the situation we find ourselves in and the way that you can intervene. Lord, teach us to pray and to seek you and to have the right attitude and mind towards who you are and the fact we can trust you. Friend, won't you again just be silent before the Lord as we seek his face? And maybe you've been struggling, maybe you've been feeling depressed or discouraged with your own situation, whatever that might be. Won't you just pause for a moment and ask the Lord to give you this winning faith? Oh, that the Lord would use the story of Joshua in your life and remind you that your Jericho can be overcome, that the walls can come tumbling down because of faith. Father, we thank you that you are the focus of our faith. And Lord, we want to affirm today that we place our total trust in you. We pray this all in your precious name. Amen.